What are top trends you need to know in church administration? How can you prepare? And who can you connect with for help? Find out in this special guest interview with Phil Martin from the Church Network.
Informing, encouraging, and supporting your church, you're listening to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast from ECFA.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another Excellence in Church Administration podcast. This is Michael from the ECFA team. I am so glad that you have tuned in today as we welcome special guest, my friend Phil Martin from the Church Network, or as many of you have probably known the organization over the years, the National Association of Church Business Administration. We are looking forward to some great insights from Phil today on some of the top trends that he is seeing these days in church administration, and why it's so important for every church administrator not to go it alone. So, hey, Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks. I'm very delighted to be here and have a conversation today.
Awesome. Well, we are thrilled to have you with us ever since we launched this podcast on excellence in church administration. It's been a dream of mine to have you on the show. I can't think of anyone better to talk with about church administration trends than the Church Network. And for those of you who may not know Phil, he is one of those guys that has a long list of letters that follows his name, not the least of which is Certified Church Administrator, Certified Association Executive, but probably most importantly, Phil knows what it's like to sit in your shoes as an ordained minister and church administrator prior to joining the full-time staff at the Church Network. So, Phil, with that introduction, maybe before we jump into the trends that you're seeing on church administration, let's start there by maybe just having you tell folks about the Church Network and some of the background on how you got involved.
Sure. The Church Network is a 63-year-old professional association. You might say it was an early adapter to social networking. A group of men and women who were serving congregations in multiple denominations kind of looked at each other one day and said, you know, it might be good if we got together and shared what we're doing. And so they started a small group that was primarily out of Texas and Oklahoma and met. And eventually it grew to the point they decided they needed some staff to help to keep it going, and hired their first executive director, and then it's moved on until we now have a staff of five that work to maintain the network. If you've known us through the years, it feels weird not to call us NACBA or the National Association of Church Business Administration, but our branding shift was about somewhat about what we're talking about today, and that's trends in the church. Because we kept having people who had job titles like executive pastor and chief financial officer and operations manager and on and on and on, the names go, that said, well, you know, I'm not a church administrator, but your conference looks really great and it's the stuff I do every day. Can I come? And so the name was creating this exclusion, this sense of exclusion that I didn't belong. And so our attempt was to broaden the tent and to say, if you do anything related to administration in congregations, this is a place where you can come and not have to be alone, and people there will know what you do every day, and they'll say, me too, when you have conversations. So that's kind of a little of the history. We could certainly talk a lot more about that, but it is a association that's great. You ask how I got involved. At the very young age of 34, I found myself in a large church in Houston. I had a music degree, and I had a seminary degree in faith formations, and suddenly I was the supervisor of five people who had administrative roles, and I realized I knew absolutely nothing about administration. I had never had an accounting course, and fast forward a bunch of years forward, in ACBA, the Church Network was where I went and did the certification program, which I've now been responsible for the last 18 years, and learned about administration. And so it kind of was my educational piece. And then a bunch of years later, after serving on the board, I was honored to be asked to take this role. And so that's how I discovered the association.
That's great. Well, hey, one of the things that you talked about was just kind of that rebranding effort. And one of the things that I love in all of that is I think you guys captured it so well in that tagline, which was "Don't go it alone." And that's something that we see far too often, I think, here at ECFA. We talk to a lot of people, like you mentioned, kind of on the administrative side of church. Oftentimes they feel alone. Sometimes they feel overlooked. And they're often the ones that say, like, I always kind of feel like the no person, or I'm the wet blanket, maybe, you know, to all the people that are in program roles. So how do you guys at the Church Network address that problem to those that are in ministry?
Yeah, we occasionally hear people introduce themselves as the minister of no. Of course, we would encourage you to not do that, to not be just the no person. But the tagline, "Don't go it alone," is really about the fact that the unique role of administration, the kind of the foundational part that makes ministry possible, is very complex and difficult. And whether you are coming out of a role that you were a layman in your congregation and you have a good business background, and now you're suddenly stepping into a leadership role in your congregation, or you trained to do this and are doing it for a career, there are unique issues about how administration works in churches. And there is no reason that you should be trying to recreate everything or figure out everything on your own. Your congregation will be unique, and we'll talk about that in the trends in a minute, but your congregation will be unique, but somebody else has already been down this road and have thought a lot. Our certification program has a piece of it that is a research project, and it's a project that's done in a congregation. So let's say you're dealing with personnel issues, or you're working on a building facility, or you're building a columbarium, or you're working on funding mission trips. Somebody's done a project that we've already captured, and they're available, and those conversations can happen. And one of the things I do almost daily, at least weekly, is connect somebody who's got a problem or a question that they need some answers to with somebody who's already down the road. May not be your exact answer, but it gets you started, and you don't start with a blank sheet of paper.
That's awesome. Well, that's such an important role that you guys are filling. We appreciate that. Let's shift gears now to some of those trends that we were talking about. I know a lot of people that are listening into the podcast are really interested in that. If, you know, they're leaders, they're wondering what is happening, you know, in other churches. What are some things that they should be prepared for? As you alluded to earlier, what are some of the lessons that maybe other administrators are learning? And I know you guys have a really unique vantage point being there at the Church Network, and you're seeing a lot of those trends. So maybe just jump in now and share, what are some of the different things that you guys are seeing?
Well, certainly there's a lot of directions we could go when we're talking about trends, but I've kind of, over the last few years, boiled it down to kind of 5 points that I look at and kind of think we could probably name them different ways. But I think the first thing that's really significant about church that has not always been true is that the privileged nature of congregations and clergy has shifted. I think we see this, some of you on the podcast will be old enough to remember Blue Laws, and where you just pretty much honored that Sunday was a day that business didn't happen, and that you know, you wouldn't think of doing soccer or baseball or anything that would create a conflict for people so that they would be available to go to church if that was what they chose to do. It also, the privileged shift has been seen, I think, in part of what you guys do so well, and that's talk about legal issues and we see it in facilities issues. Used to be a community was excited to have a church. Now a 50-acre congregation in the middle of downtown is a drain on property tax. Clergy is no longer as honored a profession as it was. Part of that's our own fault for misbehavior and so forth. But The sense that church is just something that everybody does is not true anymore, and it affects how administration occurs.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of the privileged nature of church being one of those changes. What else are you guys seeing?
Yeah, and I think the thought, I use the word engagement to explain the second, and I really see engagement kind of in two manners. You know, if you go back to when many of us trained in seminary and we talked in terms of programming, we had an attractional model of programming. We sought to bring people into the church by the programs that we set, and that was more the focus of the church. There was missions, but it was very much you hired staff based on the programs that you were going to have. And I think engagement has shifted in the sense that churches now who are growing, who are successful in their ministry, are not looking to a seminary or a denomination or another church to say, how should we function in our community? Rather, they're looking at their community and saying, what's unique about our community? What are the strengths of our congregation? What do we have to offer this community in ministry? And how can we engage back into our community? That shifts how we talk about engaging our members into the congregation. So it's not just a matter of coming to, if you'll forgive me, the sense of club, coming to a club and partaking of what's there for me, but rather how do I get engaged in what the church has identified as its desire to be engaged in the world. And so it's a both and, both looking the congregation, looking out, and then asking the question, how do we bring members in and get them engaged in a way that both is growth spiritually for them, helping them with their family, but also sending them out to do ministry. So I think engagement's a critical issue. And then that kind of just dovetails right into the third one, which is around communications. So if you have this, the church is no longer a privileged community, people have lots of options, there's a lot of conversation about what constitutes a regular member anymore. So then if the only way you communicate is with a Sunday order of worship that has announcements in it and people don't show up for worship, then you're not communicating. So you know, how do you communicate with your members? How do you talk to your community? And then you pour on top of that the huge social media trend where people are choosing how they get their news. You know, most of us don't get news in a newspaper anymore unless it's online. And some of us get a feed that sends us to news through Twitter, and some of us get a feed that's using Snapchat, and some of us are using Facebook. And so we're getting our information about the world in a different way. Well, that's the church too. And so the church has to figure out what is its communication streams. And it's really more complex than it's ever been, because there's not a one or two choice. There's 20 issues, and what are you going to do that will focus you?
Now, those are big. And one of the things that obviously we're focused on at ECFA is looking at, you know, financial trends, giving, you know, how is that kind of playing out as the world is changing around us? I'm sure you guys are seeing some trends there as well.
Yeah, and my fourth point in the five shifts is funding. And, you know, I think the day, I haven't lost a belief in the concept of tithe. You know, it's scripturally based, it's what we understand, but if you look at the research, large portions of congregational members, you can't really see that they are following the tithe as the standard. And so the question becomes, how do you start to communicate that? And so we're seeing a shift and some interesting conversations, both from the Lake Institute, which is in Indianapolis and does a lot of research around funding. If you don't know that organization, you really need to check them out. If you just Google Lake Institute, you'll get there. They're part of Indiana University's study. And then also hearing some other voices like Linda McNay, who is a laywoman in the United Methodist Church in Atlanta, who's recently released a new book on church funding. She comes out of the museum and the academic university funding market to talk in terms of conversations about giving have to look more like fundraising conversations in the past. And we're hearing some resistance to that as if it's a non-spiritual thing. But I think it's a trend that we've got to pay attention to, because the call for discretionary giving to charitable issues is huge. And so members have to know what you're doing with the money, what the cause is, why it's important for them to give. It seems to be, now it seems to be just like support your church is not enough. It needs to have more communication there. So we're definitely seeing that in funding. You're hearing a lot of buzz, and of course we co-sponsored with you guys the tax forums about the new tax laws having effect. We're not real angst about that. We don't think most people give to charity and the church just because it's a tax benefit. That's been a side benefit. But we believe it's a faith and a commitment to the ministries of the church. And so we're not overly angst about that from our perspective. We'll come back in 24 months, and both of us can tell if that's correct or not.
Yeah, that's right. We're actually getting ready. Folks that are listening will hear about this too, but here in just the next few weeks to start sending out even early surveys of what has that looked like, even right. In just the first few months. So now that'll be interesting.
Well, and Lake is right in the middle of a major study right now, and David King, who's their executive director, will be one of our keynote speakers at our 2019 conference, which is more than 18 months away. And the results of that will come in, and it's going to be one of the leading major studies around giving in congregations. So.
Good. Yeah, good timing. So, all right. So we've talked about with trends, we talked about kind of that privileged nature of church going away, some engagement, communication changes, funding. You mentioned that there were five. So I'm taking notes here. What's your last trend?
Yeah, okay. The fifth would be staffing or how, and by staffing, I don't just mean paid staff, but I mean how do you create leadership within the congregation that results in that engagement that we talked about earlier. So one of the trends we're really seeing in staffing is that staffs are being hired and are moved toward the strengths of the individual and the need of the congregation. And one of the frustrations for that, for those of us who try to benchmark compensation, is you end up with staff titles that are very unique and very different. It's becoming harder and harder to get an honest benchmark against what the real task of the individuals are. And then we're seeing more and more congregations who are turning to their members and bringing them into leadership roles. And so you'll have a church that is needing, you know, the children's ministry leader or an administrative leader or even an executive pastor who ends up taking that role by stepping up out of the congregation. And that's a real shift from what we've seen in the past.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. Well, that's really helpful in terms of what are some of the trends in kind of a snapshot right now. What are some of the top trends that you're seeing? What kind of resources do you guys offer on an ongoing basis just to help folks stay up on trends, what's new and what's happening? What do you guys offer in that way?
Yeah, well, we see our role in the bigger picture of all of the folks like ECFA as a connector. One of the unique parts of the church network in ACBA through the years has been the broad diversity of people who are involved, and more is being written about the polarization of the church and the polarization politically of the community. And there's deep in our DNA as an organization that we are not here to judge or to push issues around theology, but rather we're talking about how do we as the kingdom of God, the church, the Christian church, work together. And so we have this huge diversity. And one of the greatest things for me to do is to find someone who's, I'll make up a story, someone who's in the Church of Christ, who's never met an Episcopal parish administrator, who work in the same city, and they don't need each other, and to connect them in a way that they discover ministries happening in their community and that they become friends, and it works well. So for us, being a connector of individuals and resources is kind of our priority. Part of what we do is we have a pretty large network of about 50 local groups. A local group can be a chapter that's well-organized, that has a board, that has a constitution and bylaws, and it meets monthly, and it'll have 40 or 50 people there, and it does a program, or it can be a group of 8 or 10 folks who are in a smaller community who make a commitment to have lunch together once a month and kind of have a roundtable conversation around what's there. We have online an e-learning lab, which if you go to our website, thechurchnetwork.com, you'll easily find it on the homepage, that has an archive of lots of seminars and workshops on technical subjects, leadership subjects, and so forth that are available. If you're in a small church, there's a great free resource there that is a 5-part section by a pastor and a associate pastor of 2 congregations about administration in the smaller church, and that's very helpful. Then we've done web seminars since about 2004. I think I'm about at almost 200 of those, hosting those, and so we use a great group of those. And then in October we do the National Church Administration Day, which is a focus to do that. And then our long-standing resource is ministrypay.com, which is a benchmarking of compensation. And it's a live database, so it's always current, and we're always updating it and trying to keep it as current as possible. So that's kind of a 30,000-foot view.
Good. No, those are all incredible resources, and one of them that I didn't hear you touch on specifically here, but we've kind of talked about, it's on my calendar, and Phil did not pay me to say this, and that is the National Conference, right? You mentioned the 2019, but for 2018, the dates are July 18th through 21st, right, in New Orleans. So maybe kind of tell folks right. a little bit sure. more about National Conference.
Sure, and
what's
and
there.
I think if I'm correct, since I picked the speakers, I believe you're speaking at that, I think.
Just one or a few of us here.
I'm glad you have it on the calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So each year somewhere in the country, we do a major national conference. The conference is usually in a hotel or a convention center. This year we happen to be in the New Orleans Convention Center right there on the river. The conference hotel is the Hilton, and then there are about 4 others that you can choose from that are in the general area. Richard Hammer, for more than 35 years, has been the anchor of this conference long before he had connection with Christianity Today. And so Richard is always a feature that people want to be there for, and we look forward to that. Then we have on Wednesday, the actual conference begins on Wednesday night, but on Wednesday we do a series called Fast Tracks. It's 6 hours of intense content. We have 5 focuses this year. They're HR, accounting, executive pastors, communications, and facilities. And we're real pleased to have Susan Beaumont with us. Susan was an Auburn consultant and is now consulting on her own, and she's doing a day on supervision and accountability of staff, and that's always a challenge. So it plus there's a great trade show, And we'll have 150 so suppliers who do everything from fundraising to software to chairs to background checks to funding that are there for you to learn more about their services and so forth. So we would encourage you to come. You can come for the whole event. You can come just for the fast track. You can pick a day that you like something and just come that day. Denominations get together. And the non-denominational group even has a denominational reception,
right.
Which I always find funny. So we'd love to have you attend. The direct website is tcnconference.com. You can get there through our main site, but there's also a link that takes you directly there.
Well, that's great, Phil. As we kind of wrap up here with time, is there anything else on your mind, anything else that you feel like folks that are listening ought to know?
Well, I would just say, don't go it alone. Come contribute and come drink from the fountain. There's great resources there. Some of the best learning you will experience is being around a table with 5-6 other people who are in the same trench you're in. They deal with the same issues you deal with every day. And you will find that understanding how they're handling them will help you to do a better job, and you will be able to contribute to them and affect ministry much beyond your own congregation.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think even more important than all the great information you're going to walk away with and all the great resources, just to see that interaction that takes place between folks that are serving in similar roles and the way they can encourage each other and look forward to seeing each other each year, I just think is so valuable. So thanks, guys, for what you do with that. And as Phil said, if you're looking to stay in touch or to get more information about the Church Network, the conferences, or the resources, check out their website at thechurchnetwork.com. And as we close, I also want to highlight all of our ECFA resources that are free to administrators at churchexcel.org. We share a similar heart for Church Network, and that is for excellence in church administration, and also wanting to create that online community where you don't have to go it alone. Since launching just a year ago, we've already seen nearly 5,000 leaders take advantage of these great resources. So if you haven't yet, be sure to check that out at churchexcel.org. And thanks to each of you for all that you do to faithfully serve the Lord through your local church. We're praying for you, we're here for you, and we look forward to connecting again soon on another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.